and it was like kind of on the edge of like dying.
Oh my God.
Hello, everybody. It's time for 10 Days in Dance. My name is Adam K, joined, of course, by...
Hey, guys, it's Amy Farina. You might also know me as MC Unicorn. We have an interview in collaboration with EDM House Network all the way from Germany.
Hey, guys, this is Avayo, and you're listening to 10 Days in Dance.
We know each other a long time because I've been playing your music on One World Radio for an absolute age, and you were one of our 20 of 2024. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I had the notification. I know.
Awesome.
It was a big thing for me. Yeah, of course I remember.
Do you know what? There's a wonderful clip that you said. It was something along the lines of, you made a dream come true. That's always nice when you know that you're connecting and you're doing something that this, you know, obviously been working hard for. Happy to be a part of that journey. So yeah, it's really great to be here. Thanks for us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
So like I said, we're joined today with Avayon. He's a DJ and producer from Germany. So I want to jump right in. So everybody's probably wondering about your track, Wakuka. So Wakuka became a massive success. What was the collaborative process like working with Sophia Naizu and the Kenyan influence she brought to the track?
It was really easy because I knew her vocals before, of course, from her other song, Mwaki. And she had like a vocal pack going on in the internet where a lot of people were using her vocal takes that she did. And I also used it before because I'm a big fan of her voice and like the Kenyan African vibe. And she was like... her management wrote us and was like, yeah, she has some stuff laying around. Maybe you could try something. And she sent me the vocal take of Wasuka. And it was like this one take, perfectly recorded. Everything sounded good. It was like, okay, I can do something with this. And I think after 2 days, the song was finished. It was like all the producers will know what I mean. If you have like something produced by itself, like it just goes by itself. Like everything was really easy, you know, and it was really nice.
That's amazing. I was actually Googling what the lyrics meant because I love the track, but obviously I didn't know what the lyrics meant. Can you tell us a little bit about the deeper meaning behind the track and why do you think it's resonated so much with people?
I think it's a nice combination of course, her vocals itself, like the vibe of her vocals, because I think most of the people listening to it don't understand what it's all about. But it's like the combination of the how she sings it, how the emotions she puts in her vocals in combination with the drop that I did and the synthesizers and like the whole vibe. And it's kind of Afro house, not Afro house, and also like deep house, but also not deep house, and like so many genres combined. And I think that's something new and something refreshing, and people like can connect with this. And it's also something you could like get melancholic with, but you can also dance to it, and you have like this bright variety of like what you can do with the song. And also like the nice meaning of her like female empowerment of young female woman who like want to do something and like the whole empowerment scene, and this is like really nice to support.
I love that. We love that here on the podcast. So you got a lot of positive feedback from this track, especially from big players like Calvin Harris. Who do you look for when it comes to inspiration when you were starting out?
When I started out, one of my biggest influences was Chami.
Oh.
Back it was like 2012 or something. Like he was like the godfather of deep house stuff, and he had like the different synths and everything was different, and I just fully fell in love with it. And like the Nova Days inspirations, I really love The Blaze, like Ben Boomer, Elderbrook people, like they're all amazing. And I think to like connect with a lot of people and get like small inspirations here and there and like make your own thing out of this is like the whole point of being an artist, like tell your story, but also like get inspired by life itself, you know?
I love that. You've often described your music as for dancing, for dreaming, depending on how you're feeling. Your music is definitely emotional. I feel it as well when I'm listening to it. How do you balance creating tracks that work both for massive festival stages and also for more intimate settings when you're just listening alone in your bedroom?
I think it's never like an intention. I never like sit down and be like, I want to do a song that works this, there and there. It's more of like, it's my art. It's what I like to do. I like to do stuff that I like to listen to by myself and that makes me feel good and make me feel happy. And if I like it, I try to put it out. And if people connect to it, I think that's the best feeling in the world.
I think it touches at a deeper level. I don't know, when I was listening, I feel like the lyrics are powerful and yeah, it just makes you feel something for sure.
I'm always like writing, but also not on purpose, but I also try to put out songs that you can like write your own story with it. I noticed it, and I had like the full like proof of it when I did my first tour and I talked to people after the show. I was like talking to people after show and be like, yeah, and they were like, yeah, this song is our breakup song. This song is our how we get together. This is our relationship song. This is my I lost my dog song. The other one is like, this is my dance song. And I like that the songs have different meanings to different people, and it makes them feel different, but they tell their own story with my music. Like, that's the whole point.
Wakuka, I don't know if it's too soon for you, Avayan, that you've had the feedback, but I think it's a winter festival anthem now because of all the skiing festivals that have happened like these past months.
Yeah.
I heard loads.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we kind of also want it for the summer festivals, and they are still coming. So we hope that it's also going to be a summer festival song.
So I want to talk a little bit about your tour. So for the Vibes tour, it really showcased your transition from being a DJ to a live performer. What's been the most rewarding part of this transition, and what's been the most challenging part for you?
I think the first show that we did last year was like really challenging because it was the first time we ever did it. And it's like a new world opened up, and it's also like a live show. I didn't play a DJ set there. I did a live show with like live vocals, you need the live equipment, and the pressure of performing live. Because sometimes I think like the mid of the tour, I was like really sick, like fever and stuff like that. And I was like just taking in medicine as much as I can. I was like, okay, I'm still going to do the show. And I did two of the shows with fully having fever. And it was like kind of on the edge of like dying.
Oh my God. Are you okay now?
Yeah, we could. It was just like a flu and I had like some fever. But we still played the show, and it was challenging because you have like a different pressure of like performing, because you do like live vocals and synthesizer live stuff. And of course I have backup where I can like in like the worst case, I can like try to make it work that it's not an empty, it's not a room with like no music in it. But a lot of challenges that we didn't know before. Also with a lot of traveling and riding the bus, it's getting exhausted and you need to get your movement in, and a lot of stress, but in a positive way. I think we all grew with the tour because I had like a lot of my friends came with me, and all of them had like a job there, because one of them did the merchandise, one of them did the photos and videos, one of them did like a tour manager guy, and everybody had like their job there, and we grew a lot also as friends, as people, and also as artists.
Wow, that's amazing. So all that leading up to your upcoming tour. So you have a new tour coming up called You Are Seen. Yeah. So this features a 360-degree live setup. So is that going to be on top of you performing live, you DJing? Is this all been leading to this? So what's the inspiration behind this concept? And can you tell us a little bit about the tour?
Yeah, of course, I wanted like a step up from the last tour. And the step up is we have bigger venues now, and we have a different concept of like having me in the middle with like a show concept of like there's a platform that it's that has lights underneath, and it can flash up, so it's like more of like a visual light show. Because in the last one we also the only live show that we had like light wise was the light that was in the venue, but this time we have like a concept behind it, and we have like the in the middle thing with like people around me. It's like more intimate, and I think it's going to be insane, but it's still going to be a live show with live vocals and the same setup, but with a bit more energy, a bit more intimate, bigger, better, sweatier,
like boiler room vibes, or
kind of this vibe.
Is that stressful as a DJ? I'm not a DJ or a producer. Adam's the DJ on this podcast. Is that stressful when people are so close to you, around you? Do you ever feel like they're going to knock you down or knock something on the equipment? I always wondered that.
Yeah, we're going to have like a kind of like, because the platform, the light platform needs to be put up a bit. So I'm going to be a little bit taller than the rest. So you have like kind of just like a kind of like barrier kind of thing going on, but not as much, because people will still be like really close, and it depends on the locations. And some of them it's going to be like they're a bit like farther away, and some of them they're like probably fully in my face. Let's see. But it's okay. I mean, it's a bit more stressful because you have like, it's warmer, because when I did the shows being on stage, you have like a ventilator going on, and you have like this your own space there, and there you're like fully in the middle and you have like no space at all. But Yeah, it's good for the mind, you know, like getting stronger in the head.
Fine, hang on. Let me ask this, because when people, this is a personal thing, when people get closer, I think I get faster. So is that the BPM? The closer people are, it feels like everyone's so baying for you to just speed this up. Do you feel the same kind of thing? Or how do you handle that?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe we're going to play hardcore or hardstyle at the end.
I love that.
We don't know. It's going to be a full hard to jungle drum and bass set at the end.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Nothing's off limits here. It's exciting.
Yeah, come to the tour and be surprised.
Well, you sold me on that one. That's awesome, and that's really cool. So the light is gonna come from the floor.
Yeah, it's a platform that's been light up from the like up to down, and it's like there's a visual guy, and he knows when stuff is dropping, and then he can like do like effects and like strobo stuff, and you know, like I think it's gonna be nice. We didn't test it yet, but I think it's gonna be nice.
Awesome. Yeah, it seems like these days it's not just about the music, it's about the full production, right? Adam and I...
Yeah, the full package, like the vibe that you also bring in to the shows. Like if you just stand there and be like, okay, I'm doing my performance and have a good night, people will notice. It's the energy you bring and the whole emotion stuff. So
let me put this as a 50-50 to Avion then. You can only choose one. It's either Eric Prydz Holosphere or Anima Genesis. You can only go to one show. Which show do you go to, Avion?
Eric Prydz.
Ooh. Why do you choose Prydz over Anima?
I can connect to the music a bit more, and I support OG stuff, and he was like one of the first guys who ever did this kind of stuff, and he should get the recognition for this. So I also love the Anima stuff. It's absolutely insane, like the whole thing that they like grew up for like 2 years, and now they're like the whole thing that they did is like insane, also with the visuals. And I have good friends who do 3D visual stuff, and I know how much work this is. Both big respect to them, but I think I would pick Eric.
I'm an OG Eric Prydz fan. I've talked about him a lot on all my various podcasts, and I've seen Anima at Tomorrowland, but not at the Sphere. But the thing is with Eric Prydz is that it's different every time. I've seen the Holo show multiple times. I've seen it in New York. I've seen it in Miami. I've seen it everywhere. And it's always like a little bit different. And I feel like with Anima, it's the same guy. Adam and I talk about this all the time. So sorry to the listeners who are tired of hearing about this. But like it's the same like guy crashing. So I'm with you, Adam. Who would you choose?
I didn't realize how much of a Prydz fan I was until I was at Tomorrowland Winter and I actually played four of his tracks in my sound. Like, whoa, I'm more Cirrus D than Eric Prydz. But you know, I would happily get Call on Me out again because he is as well. It's all good. Nothing's off limits, is it, Avion? We've already said this. Yeah. Anything goes in 2025. So I'll see you down at the front. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the point.
I mean, we're talking 2025, but. Is this kind of the journey you're on for 10 years' time? Do you see yourself doing something like to emulate Prydz and Anima, that kind of thing? Is that kind of a dream or is that unrealistic or realistic? I don't know. You tell us.
I'm a big fan of like if people come to the show and they have like something to watch also, not only to listen to. But I think I'm more of a big fan of like the whole energy that's going on there. And the only problem with like nice visual shows like that is the energy will like... kind of like suffer from it because people be like, oh, we're gonna film this and this is amazing and we're gonna watch it, and you stand there and watch it because it's amazing. Also, if you're in the Sphere and you have like this like things going on like inside of this, of course you're gonna sit there and be like, wow, what is this? And it's not so much like concentrated to the music anymore. So let's do like a nice in-between balance thing of both of these things. Like, so you keep the energy up, because I like it to be like sweaty after the show and not be like, okay, I watched a movie.
No, that's good. I'm with you on that as well. I'm sure.
I still love it because I think it's a really nice experience. But but maybe you watched it once and then you'd be like, okay, I saw it. Nice. Cool.
Lights out in the basement. That's me. Come on. Let's go. <Yeah. laughs>
I want something. Like, I want a show that if the light turns off, it's people will still have a great time. Yeah. And you need to ask this for these kind of shows. Like if it's the same.
It's good.
Speaking of your live shows and all the everything that goes into it, the lights, the production, now the 360 degrees setup, what role does social media play in all of this? Because you have garnered a lot of views on social media, and actually some of your songs are on a playlist on Spotify called TikTok House. When I was doing my research on you, I was like, oh, TikTok House, like, okay, what's that? So I'm just wondering, what role does social media play in all this for you?
I think, a really huge role. I think, like, for every artist, it should be a huge role, because it's an amazing platform where you can, like, easy promote music and also get, like, tests. I really like it to test out songs. If you have, like, little clips of a song and you just upload it and be like, yeah, just upload a little clip, and you'd see, okay, you have, like, good interactions with them, and people be like, well, you should release this, then, of course, I'd take this and be like, oh, yeah, maybe we should release this if you guys like it that much. And it's an inspirational thing. It's being, like, showing yourself as an artist thing. It's a being creative thing. It's, like, I think people should use it, of course, always in a mental health wise good way, on like, don't hang on your phone like all day. But I think making content also makes fun. Like, don't pressure yourself too much, but I try to not pressure myself too much, but I don't think my label likes it that much, because I'm like, yeah, maybe I post once a month. Let's see, you know, because they don't really like it. But I'm like, I think it's enough. Like, if you have, like, good content and people get the point of what you want to do, then it's all good.
Definitely. I think you're doing a good job with that, but I can certainly see how it's a tough balance, because it's, at the end of the day, it's about the music, right? It's not about social media or likes or views, but you also need to sell tickets and you also need to make money. So
it's nice.
A really difficult balance. So I'm dying to ask you, you have a new track that just came out on Sony Music and it's called I Can't Find You. Can you tell us a little bit about this track? What's the inspiration and the story behind this one?
I did it with Oscar Matt. It's a Swedish guy, and he just, it's insane, because he was like releasing a TikTok with an idea that he made and was like, this is like an idea that I made. And people were like, Avion could fit on this. And people tagged me, and I was like, seeing on, okay, who's tagging me there and there and there. Okay. It's like 10 times people tagged me in a video and was like, okay, maybe I should watch it. And I listened to it and was like, bro, that's actually really good. And then I was like, bro, send me the stems. Let's make this a song. And we made it a song. So that's really nice. And he was just like a dude who was uploading stuff on TikTok, and people were like, yeah, Avion could fit on this. And now we're making the song.
Awesome. I know Adam's been playing it at Tomorrowland Radio.
It's already on the playlist. So that's good news for you. That's all I'm saying.
Amazing. Perfect. Yeah.
Happy days.
Perfect.
If we're talking about playlists, and we're talking about the commercial world versus the underground world, and how the lines are blurred, and how social media has sort of driven lots of music. Bunt, I know you've worked with him in the past. So driven on social media, and I know that you're good friends, and I think you've done back-to-backs as well. You've risen at a similar stage, and it's obviously, is it born out of Germany, or is it just born out of two individuals? You tell me what the connection is and how it's grown and how you've grown together.
We're like really good friends. We just went on. He was a guy uploading stuff on TikTok, and I also did my stuff on Spotify and stuff, and like also on TikTok and Instagram. And also people were like, yeah, maybe you should work with him. And people tagged me, and I watched his videos, and I was like, oh, who is this guy? And I was like, okay, oh, he's also German. And then we connected on Instagram. Like, bro, yeah, maybe we should do something. And he was like, yeah, come to Hamburg, to my studio. It's like 6 hours from here, because Germany is also pretty big, and I'm in the south and he's completely in the north. So I'm like near Munich and he's like near Hamburg, so it is like an insane drive. So it was like, okay, let's plan this and I'm gonna do it. So I drove there, we spent 3 days in the studio there, and we made a song. And we connected in this time really like as people, because we were like the same vibe and like a good friend vibe. And from then on the story continues. We made a song, and I think we're gonna do another one.
Okay, so this is absolute shining a bright light. I'm not. There was a tropical house phase, you know, when the likes of Kungs, Sam Felt, even Lost Frequencies, kind of were all together on SoundCloud on that time, and Kygo in that point as well. So, is this, if you had to add other people into your movement right now, who else would you invite? If you've got you and Bunt, you're allowed 2-3 other people. Who would come in with that journey at that time? Who would be on the bus?
I think the Blaze vibe would be really nice, or some really like super OG stuff. Also German, Paul Kalkbrenner.
Now you talk. Yeah, okay,
like,
good.
Like, get the Berlin vibe also in there, you know? Yeah, we have the south, the north, and the middle of Germany all combined.
Patriotic, I love it. So, okay, give us a, if you, because this is another good thing. There's so much music right now that is being brought back from the past and being reinvented. Yeah. I mean, it's what always has happened in electronic dance music, but it feels like more so than ever now. So you get to remix a Paul Kalkbrenner track for a Navion style. Which one would you choose?
Sky and Sand.
Really?
Because it's an absolute, like when I was growing up as a teenager, this song was like, it did something. It did something.
Get busy then. That's all I'm saying. You've set yourself a target. All right. Okay. And what about, let's go back to, you mentioned Charmy and you mentioned...
I just need to get my laptop plugged because I was battery is low. Yeah. So
take us to the studio.
it's not a studio right now, but it's like...
Oh hello.
Hey guys.
Hello. Oh, hi. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, we have a little... songwriting camp going on.
Oh, cool.
My place, because I moved into a new place and I was like, yeah, come over, let's and do music and do stuff.
Oh, so cute. What's your dog's name?
It's from Martin, the dog from Martin.
Oh, so cute.
It's not my dog.
But do you have your UR scene opener? Is that all sorted and set?
Of course. But it's going to be just for the people who come to the show.
Okay, cool. All right, so let me come back to that question because earlier on you mentioned Charmy and you mentioned Elderbrook. All right, both amazing artists. Charmy's just done a collaboration. Elderbrook's touring. How do you make those collaborations? Because I want to make them happen. I'm asking you to make them happen. Lean into them. But how do you make them happen? Do you kind of go, do you DM them, say, Elderbrook, I love your voice?
I think I would DM them like in a just normal way of DMing people and be like, oh, you want to work? Like, let's work. So maybe they have like... ideas laying around. I have ideas laying around, and you just see on how the vibe is going, and maybe it could work. You know, like why not?
Is now how do you work? Because you're touring now,
and maybe also tell them like also with Charmy is like childhood hero of like how I started this whole thing and why I made music and stuff. So this is really insane because he was like one of the biggest inspirations back then.
You know, you can confess to him that you're a big fan. Come on. Look, I'm giving you a list of things to do. So I know now's not the best time because you're touring. If you're touring in May and it's intensive, do you stop making music or do you kind of jump in and just drop some ideas or is it full on sessions? How do you work?
Yeah, I basically just work on my own. That's like the normal process that I work with because I produce, songwrite and sing them on my own. So I'm the best on like working on my own. But I really enjoy doing sessions like this, like inviting, because like the people that I work with are also friends, you know, like music connects and you get to be like friends and then it's like just friends coming over and you have the same hobby and you're just nerding around and doing music. But I try to also work on tour because we have a tour bus going on and we have space there to like where you sit down and have like time to make music. But we don't have a paid driver. So everybody needs to drive this thing for a couple of hours a day. So it's like my turn. And last time I did like the whole tour, I drove it. So if I have time, I try to make music there. So I think it's also really inspiring to have like you're on tour, you have like this, like the direct feedback of the people. Cause if you make a demo and you put it in the set and you play it live and you see the reaction. Also Wasuka was also a song that was like a demo that I made on tour and then played it and people were like going insane. So
from a production point of view, when you make a track and no one's ever heard it and you've got to play it, you need to play it, but you've never played it. Well, there's that fear factor of when do I play it? Right. So how do you get over that? When do you know is the right time to play a track that you think is the right thing?
I think I have like a certain feeling of like when I know, okay, this is something that can be played. It's in a certain stage of like, it's okay to play. And basically like nerd wise is the mixing point of like, okay, it's quite done of the mixing point that you can actually play it in the sound system. But set wise, I did it last time. I just told the people and we're like, by the way, guys, you're the first one who listened to the song, and then usually go like, well, yeah, we're the first one who listened to it. And of course then they get hyped, and you know, and it's like, it's kind of like a win-win situation, because they get hyped, I get hyped, you know, the content will be better because they're like more hyped, and so it's a win-win for everybody. And I think I just communicate it, because you know, I have the mic there and I also sing there, so I'm always on the mic with the people. When I DJ, I don't do mic. I'm not like this 3-2-1 jump guy, but
hands up.
It's okay. It's okay if people do it. It's totally fine. I love it. If I see people are really confident and they crowd control and on DJ sets, amazing. Slay. But I don't do it. I play my set, and it's like I'm really in a meditative state when I play, so I don't do the mic there. But on the live shows, I will do the mic, because I also do the vocals there, and I just communicate with the people.
So there's the secret. There's the secret. If you've got brand new music, stop everything. Tell everyone this is brand new. You're hearing it for the first time. That is Avion's production secret and on stage secret. I'm going to use that. Thank you very much for your advice.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And the nice part is also being really honest, because I did the tour and I was like, okay, you're the first guys who listen to this. You're the second people who listen to it. You're the third one who listen to it. And they still be like, yeah, we're the third ones. Yeah.
I've only played this one day each this week. The fact it's Friday, irrelevant. All right. So you're the fifth player. Yeah. I love it. I really appreciate all of the answers that you've given us. Amy, anything left on your agenda?
Yeah. Avion, one final question. Can you let everybody know where they can find you, where they can connect with you online?
Basically everywhere, actually. I mean, I'm the most active on like Instagram, TikTok and stuff, but basically anywhere. And like ticket stuff and all that stuff is on my website. It's avionmusic.com, and the rest, just type in Avion everywhere you want and you will see music or videos of me on anything.
Great. We'll link to all that in the show notes. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of 10 Days in Dance. Once again, this interview will also be on edmhousenetwork.com, so stay tuned for that. And follow us on all the places. If you like the podcast, rate us and review us, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. See ya.